MMA Roadshow, episode number 231 and a half. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me because, well, it's about 7 a.m. here in Las Vegas, and I'm assuming he's probably still asleep, to be honest with you. At the very least, I know he's probably just waking up, getting that little coffee brewed, and probably about to turn on UFC on ESPN Plus 15. It is on demand if you want to watch it, ESPN Plus or UFC Fight Pass, depending on where you are. And we said going into it, you probably didn't need to get up live and watch the whole thing here in the United States. And that pretty much turned out to be true. It wasn't the greatest card of all time by any stretch of the imagination. Not a lot of big impacts early on. But there was a massive impact in the main event in Shenzhen, China. And if you haven't watched it yet, you need to go do so. Put this on pause right now and come right back because it won't take you long. Weili Zhang is your UFC strawweight champion. And she did it in unbelievable fashion. 42 seconds is all it took to take out Jessica Andrade. And this was just an absolutely phenomenal 42 seconds. This is not a fluke. This was not something that was accidental. I mean, even like a Masvidal knockout of Askren, I'm not trying to take away from it, right? But that was just one crazy moment. I mean, there was a reason it went viral. This was an absolute beat down packed into 42 seconds. It's flawless. I mean, from the opening bell, Zhang comes out, you know, fires three low kicks in the opening 10 seconds. She's moving well. She's looking light on her feet, showing the speed, showing the range that we knew she had. And then Andrade does what she does. She comes forward looking to brawl. She comes forward looking to just bang. And Weili is able to slip out of the way, land a big right hand, stun Andrade early on, and she sees it and she senses it and she goes for it, rushes forward, gets the clinch, big elbows over the top, finding their mark, knees up the middle, everything just vicious. And eventually Andrade pulls away, takes another big shot, hits the deck, and the fight is waved off as Zhang is jumping on top to deliver more ground and pound shots. Just an absolutely phenomenal performance from Weili Zhang. Could not have asked any better. Cole Coffey and I both picked her going into this fight. I thought that she had the skills, knew that it might be a little too early. I think those were fair questions. Anybody that said she didn't have the game is doesn't know what they're watching, if we're being honest. I mean, she definitely had the game. It was just, can you deal with the moment? You know, can you deal with somebody with this skill set that Andrade had, but also with the pedigree that she has? And on top of that, you know, the situation, the history, the enormity of the moment. Can you deal with all those things? And my God, did she deal with it absolutely flawlessly. I can't, that's the word that just comes to mind. Flawless. Flawless. And it is a huge moment. I mean, a huge win for her. She's now a UFC champion. She got $50,000 in the process, by the way, for her performance of the night, but that's hardly going to matter because it's what comes next that's really going to change for her. I mean, big money is on the way. Big opportunities are there for her. 20 wins in a row right now. But even more so for her, I mean, this is a huge moment for the UFC. Could not have scripted it any better than this. I mean, you know, the UFC has really invested in China. They really have. You know, they've hosted, you know, three live events there now, and I can tell you, it is a headache to do live events there. I'm assuming they've probably made some progression since I went there to the first event in Shanghai. But you know, it's just a different way of doing business over there, and it's just a different culture, and it's not easy. Things do not run like clockwork. The well-oiled machine that is the UFC, of course they get it done, but I can tell you behind the scenes, it's a little bit chaotic. I imagine that is probably going to change. I imagine some red carpets are going to be rolled out for them now. But they have continued to invest. You know, this $14 million performance institute that they put in Shanghai, I mean, that is a big investment. It's not just the upfront construction costs. Then you've got operating costs as well. And you're not selling memberships to this thing. You know what I mean? It's not there to make money. It's there to operate at a loss just to help you. And it paid off quickly. Quickly. This is going to be a historic moment. I get it. It was a small card. It was a card we didn't say you need to wake up early in the morning. And you didn't need to. But there is real significance to this moment. And I think we're going to look on it, you know, in a couple years and say, yep, man, that's the moment that really, really kicked it off. You know, it's no secret. I mean, look, the UFC is a for-profit company. Yes, they're taking this thing all over the world, but it's because of opportunities like this. You know, you look at what Yao Ming meant to the growth of basketball as an international sport. That's what's happening here. 1.4 billion people. I mean, nuts. And the money is there, I'm telling you. They say it a lot when you talk about China. It's a numbers game. There's just so many people that, of course, you know, if you can carve out a little piece of the market, you know, that's huge. And that's very true. But I'm telling you, there's real money there as well. You know, I had a chance to see it. There's a lot going on there. And this is going to be a huge, huge moment for the UFC. So I have to imagine UFC President Dana White, like I said, was over the moon, man. It couldn't have gone any better for the UFC. He did speak to the media in China afterwards. The audio was cut off for the first 5 or 6 minutes of the press conference. Unfortunately, we can't recover that. But I did want to play you a little bit of him talking about the night, talking about Weili Zhang, what it means. And basically, this thing picks up with Dana answering a question about this, about the impact of what this result means for the company, especially in the Chinese market.
Well, if you look at the last 20 years and how we've run this thing, we take it everywhere. And we're going to take this everywhere in China. And the great thing about China is every city is a big city in China, you know. I mean, Shenzhen's got 17 million people. I think New York has 8 million people. So it's hard to miss in China. Anywhere you go, you know, there's massive populations. There's over 1 billion people in this country. And it's one of the reasons that I believe martial arts started in China. This is where martial arts began. And the fact that, you know, we're coming back here and introducing this place where it all began to mixed martial arts. Over the next 5 years, you're going to see so much talent coming out of this country, it's going to be crazy. Go ahead, sir.
What do you think the victories of Li and Zhang are going to do to the sport in general in this country? And what are your future plans?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you put fighters in these positions to succeed or not to succeed. And there were a lot of questions about Weili Zhang going into this fight, especially against a powerful fighter like Andrade. I mean, she passed every test with flying colors tonight. She looked incredible. So obviously, any of the markets that we go into anywhere in the world, when you have somebody who becomes a world champion, it explodes. I mean, it explodes. So tonight was a big night for Chinese MMA, and obviously the co-main event too with Leech was phenomenal. I mean, the roof blew off this place tonight, and I think you had some people here tonight that were hardcore fans, because you could tell when certain things happened that they would react, and a lot of people coming in for the first time just to check it out. And the co-main and the main event did not disappoint. So it was a big night. And in the United States right now, on SportsCenter. So SportsCenter is the biggest sports channel, you know, the biggest thing on TV that you can watch. They're running the Weili Zhang thing nonstop back there. So it's big. Weili Zhang's next fight will be in the United States.
So the question is, she is trying to compare Weili and Ronda Rousey. So Ronda Rousey definitely is the first female champion. And do you think Weili will be like Ronda Rousey when she retires? She will become a UFC Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if you saw this week, but Ronda Rousey wrote an Instagram message to Weili and Jessica this weekend. And one of the things that I want to add on to what I was saying before, but kind of goes with her question, the fight that happened tonight, you know, the UFC is a global sport. So tonight, you know, Weili Zhang's performance was so good and so big. People were watching this fight in Canada, the United States, Brazil, the Middle East, You know, Wei Li Zhang became a huge star tonight globally, not just here in China. And obviously the first ever Chinese world champion. So, I mean, she's still very fresh and young in her career. We'll see what is in store for her, but she's off to a good start. Thank you.
Hello, Dana White. I have a question. Like, we are very excited tonight, and we finally have our own first bell here.
Yeah.
And as you see, like, after the fight, Li Jingliang won by TKO tonight, and after that, he was calling for the champion fight. And do you think you will, like, match him with the top five fighters in his weight next time?
That's tough to say. You know, I never make fights the night of the fight. You know, he looked excellent tonight. You're talking about Leach, right? Yeah, he looked excellent tonight, and he knocked out a guy who's never been knocked out before. We got to get back to Vegas, sit down in our room, and look at what's next for him. But yeah, he looked ready tonight. He looked ready for that next step. Yeah, yeah. We'll see how tonight was a really good night for China. So it's funny because if you look at what a short amount of time we've been working here and how fast the talent has grown in such a short amount of time, now that the PI is here, in the next 5 years, I mean, there's over 1 billion people here. It's a numbers game. There's a lot of talent here that has not been discovered yet. And we will cultivate it and discover it in the next 5 years. You're going to see big things happen in this country.
So we will have numbers game.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. There's way too many people here to not have some talent.
Obviously, after this bout, there are a few contenders we have to consider. But seems like the top contenders in the strawweight are all taking time off, like Rose and Tatiana Suarez and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. They're all taking their times. So do you know there's this situation here?
Well, I don't know if they're all taking time off right now. Rose is definitely taking time off. I mean, Rose got slammed on her head and, you know, wanted to take some time off after that, which is understandable. The other girls are all fighting. I mean, there's other fights happening right now. And as they play out, it will determine what's next for Wei Li. Wei Li told me tonight she wants to fight as much as possible, which I love. So, and I can tell you this, going into this fight with Jessica Andrade, nobody wanted to fight Wei Li Zhang. Nobody wanted to fight her. And now she's the champion. So if you want a shot at that belt, you have to fight her.
So you just said the next fight is in the U.S.? For Zhang Wei Li.
Yeah, I wanted to fight in the United States.
Yeah, it will be a main event of a numbered fight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be a main event. It'll be the main or a co-main, you know, but she'll be one of the top billings in the United States, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Did you ever imagine that Wei Li win this fight in this kind of way?
It's funny because I asked a lot of fighters what they thought about, you know, this fight. And everybody thought that Jessica was too strong for Wei Li. And there were too many unanswered questions about Wei Li, which is true. If you've seen her fight, you could tell she's well-rounded. She's super talented. But how is she going to deal with the pressure of fighting for the title for the first time in her home country with all of her people here? And a lot of other variables that play into a fight. She looked like a world champion tonight. She looked like one of the most vicious women on planet Earth tonight. She looked incredible. No. The answer to your question is no. I did not see it ending like this. No. You know what's crazy? I'll say this last thing, and then I'll leave. But the impact that Wei Li has had already, I was telling these guys when I got back to my room after the fight, there were already agents calling me from LA making offers for her on deals already. That's what an impact she's had already. Yeah. Thank you, China. Have a great night. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so you can definitely hear the excitement in UFC President Dana White's voice. I mean, I just can't stress enough what a big moment this is. And, you know, hopefully that's painfully obvious to everybody out there. Not just, you know, for Wiley Zhang, but for the company and for the sport, to be honest with you, for the sport. A couple people, I was looking on social media, and a couple people chimed in. I thought this was great here. Malki Kawa, of course, you know Malki Kawa, first-round management. You know, big time player in the game. His brother Abe is doing a lot more of this stuff now. Malky's doing a lot with the NFL. But of course, you know, those guys still work together, and Malky still works with their biggest clients. But he chimed in and said, Zhang will be the biggest star in the UFC, bigger than Conor and Khabib combined. Watch what I tell you. Congrats, Zhang. Malki Kawa posted that on Twitter. I reached out to him via text just to make sure, because Wiley Zhang is a Sucker Punch Entertainment client, and I wanted to make sure, like, has something changed? Did I miss something? And I said, Malki, is this your client? He said, no, not my client. That's how big of a deal this is to people that are in the know, okay? He's big upping somebody that's not even his client, realizing what a massive moment this is. Dave Schaller, of course, you know Dave Schaller, good friend of mine, former head of UFC PR. Now I'm working with him over at CFFC. Of course, he's working with the NBA now, the Philadelphia 76ers. What did he say on social media? He said, this is a huge moment for Zhang in the UFC. This time last year, the 76ers were gearing up for our first ever team trip to China. It was an incredible experience and created amazing opportunities for our brand. Can't say this enough. This is huge for the UFC. So if you don't believe what I have to say, and I would understand if you don't, listen to those guys. Far more intelligent than me. But listen, you know, it's not that this instantly overnight is going to just, you know, blow the world up, but this is a huge moment for him. As we said, it's a numbers game, as you always say with China, but this is definitely going to help things go in the right direction. It's still going to take some education. You know, Dana's stressing over and over, this is the home, this is the cradle of martial arts, and that's true, but it's a little bit different over there. It's interesting, you know, the little experience I have with you know, traveling over to the Far East and China in particular, you know. And I think a lot of it was the same in Japan, was that, you know, yes, martial arts have a long history there, but not martial arts competition. It was more about, you know, building yourself and you know, bettering yourself, so to speak, not necessarily becoming the best warrior you can and proving it in a cage. So it'll take a little bit of education, but look, this is a big moment. There's no question about it. Now the big question will be what they do next with Wiley Zhang. Going to bring her to the United States. Smart. Very, very smart. You got to capitalize. You got to make her, you know, the star big here as well. You don't want her to be just a star in her native China. And there's some names out there. You know, to me, you know, I've said it before. I thought Wiley Zhang had what it took to be a UFC champion. I wasn't sure if it would happen this night. It did. The other person I've said the same thing about at 115 pounds is Tatiana Suarez. I think Tatiana Suarez has what it takes to be a UFC champion as well. I think she will be a UFC champion at some point. Stylistically, I think it's a more difficult matchup for Wiley Zhang. So, not that the UFC wants to shy away from that, but it's just something to consider. To me, I kind of like the idea of Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Michelle Waterson, who meet not all that long from now, about 6 weeks from now, the winner that getting the next title shot. And I think that either one of those, I mean, Jędrzejczyk obviously has the history, and stylistically it'd be a lot of fun. She's got the name. She's got the recognition. She has star power. And that would be a great matchup for Wiley Zhang in the United States. Same thing for Michelle Waterson. If Michelle Waterson finds a way to win that fight, she obviously has incredible star power as well. She gets mainstream attention every time out. So I think that would be a phenomenal fight. And then what I would do, and again, this is just me, if I'm the UFC, and listen, they can only do so much, and the matchmakers will tell you that. Like, listen, we can help guide your process to the top, and they can. There's no such thing as an easy fight in the UFC. There's not. There's no guarantees, okay? So the matchmakers can't automatically, you know, get somebody to a championship level, but they can guide you and they can help you along the way. But once you're at the top, there is no hiding anymore. There is no, you know, favorable matchmaking, so to speak. And I don't want that to sound bad. I'm not trying to say that the UFC protects people or does things, but hey, they're smart. They understand. Sometimes there's better ways to do things. So what I would do if I was in that position was, let's go with the winner of Yuanyan Jacek and Michelle Waters on October 12th. Let's go with that winner against Weili Zhang in the United States. And then at that point, because Tatiana Suarez doesn't have as big a name as either one of them, and I think she's a more difficult matchup for Weili than either one of them. So I think you maybe do that after this, and you make Tatiana go to China to do it. you put her on the long plane and make her go over there and make it, you know, just a little bit of extra challenge, just a little bit. Because I think that's what they'll probably try to do is bounce Weili back and forth a little bit as long as she is in the top. I mean, they'll still want to bring her to China. I know in the past we've said, oh, well, you know, pay-per-views happen at this time, title fights can happen. But we've seen it change, right? I mean, you know, you do things like Michael Bisping at 5 o'clock in the morning in Manchester or whatever. That's okay. It's okay. But when you're looking to grow a big market like China, you can't do that. It's the same way in Abu Dhabi next week. We're doing it at local time, Abu Dhabi time. Now, it's a little bit different situation there because that's not a massive market, but it's a market with a lot of money, and the sheikhs are paying to have some big events over there, and so we'll do it at the time they want to. Same thing with China. I think you'll do some more of these middle-of-the-night cards, and for that reason, I think you can put Weili on the card. You'll just want to go back and forth. You won't want to leave her all the way over there. All right, listen, Weili did come and speak to the media as well. Obviously, she does not speak English, although she speaks a little English, right? She's got that line down perfect, man. I love it. You know, she says that after every win. Hi, my name is Zhaili. I'm from China. Remember me? Something like that. She nails it. I can't nail it. I'm a little loopy right now, so forgive me. But she came and spoke to the media. Again, it is in Chinese. There is translation over it. By the way, I went through here as you're going to be listening to this, and I edited this all together so that the audio is a little faster. You don't have to hear English, Chinese. It kind of overlaps a little bit. But I thought it's worth it. I know it's not quite the same as hearing directly from the athlete when we're having to hear it translated. But I think it's worth hearing what she had to say and hearing her personality as well. Because, listen, I think she's important for a number of reasons. So, anyway, if nothing else, take all the China stuff out of it. Take all the business stuff out of it. She's just a hell of a fighter. She is just a hell of a fighter. And she's got some personality as well. She's got some personality. So, without further ado, here's the John Morgan edited press conference with Weili Zhang.
So the question is, can you remember how long did you take to get this chance to fight for the title? How long did you wait? Answer is, after I finished my fight in March to win Tisha Torres, and this fight was like, I wait for it so long. I challenged the fighters that was the rank is higher than me, but they all turned me down. And one time there's a fighter who took the fight, but then she rejected again. So I was so frustrated. I didn't train very well because my frustration. So I took 10 days off during the time, and then on June 12th, I got a call from my manager, and he said that I had the chance to challenge the title. So I'm a fighter that I need a target to chase on. So that's why I can train well, perform well. So then finally I did it. Will you start to like do your title defense and very quicker? I want to take a few days off and to spend a holiday, because I didn't rest during the Spring Festival to prepare my fight during March, and then I wait and prepare to my next challenge until today. I finally got the belt, so I need to take a few days off to reboot myself. There's a lot of fighter turns you off. They didn't want to fight you. So do you think you still will not get an opponent after this fight?
我去在, 其他的选手里面去寻找一个挑战者。
我觉得跟... And Weili think, no, I think they all want to fight me because I'm champion.
Dana
was just here now saying that your first title defense will be in America. How do you feel about that? Do you want to fight in America or would you like to stay in China?
Yes, I would like to get on a pay-per-view event, but I also want the pay-per-view event to hold in China. So this is my wish. If Dana want me to fight in US, it will be fine, but please get all my corners visa down, because in the last time my corner didn't come, and several corners cannot come because of the visa issue.
So,
how long do you think you can defend your this belt?
没人就是那个
还是这些人
I think I can defend several times maybe for a long time because I know all those my opponent very well. I can beat them. Andrea said after Zhang Weili's fight she may go to the flyweight to challenge Shevchenko. So do you have the plan of that? Yes, definitely. I can do that.So as a fighter, I always want to challenge myself. So for me, every great fighter is willing to fight. So I like to challenge those great fighters.
首先恭喜韦力这个获得这个。
The question is, do you imagine that you can finish the fight that quickly?
的方式来获得这个金腰带吗
？Yes, like what I said during the press.Before I can finish the fight, and I will not let the fight go to the fourth round. So I did it. And my coach, Mr. Tsai, always told, give me the game plan, and it always works very well. And he said, if you can land your combos accurately to a fighter, no one can take it. And I did it tonight.
张伟丽你好，就是先祝贺你。
So you know there's a fighter that challenged a lot of female fighters, Henry Cejudo, is the call himself Triple C, and he challenged Valentina Shevchenko. So, do you have interest to fight with Henry Cejudo?
然后你觉得你打Shevchenko也特别有自信，就是你如果这些都做到了，你有没有考虑和塞胡多打一场？
那
Yes, he can fight with me, but first he need to go to Thailand and become and changing, and then welcome. I will welcome him or her to the female division.
那个韦力，我想问你一个问题啊，就是
When you win when your first belt, a qualified belt, it was like 2015 in September, and after 1 month later.It was Ronda Rousey got knocked out by Holly Holm. What do you think about that fight?
但是今天我觉得你应该有了这样的一个心情吧。
我看那场比赛的时候，说实在，我特。
And that fight broke my heart because I was a true fan of Ronda Rousey. But it was okay because every fighter has her or his own era. And so Ronda Rousey has her era, and then she passed the belt to another fighter, just like me. This time, I won the belt from Jessica Andrade, and she passed the belt to me. I think she passed the belt willingly to me because I'm the better fighter. I can defend my belt for a long time, but after that, if there's one fighter who is better than me, I'm willing to pass this legacy belt to her. So during the time, because she is the best.
When we spoke last week, you said one of your main missions was to inspire young women. Do you feel very proud of what you've achieved tonight?
现在我还是这样的想法，就是。
So I will continue to do what I'm doing because I think my positive energy can influence a lot of young people. I always think that every people need a very big goal, and then you need to separate this very big goal to a little and a little by little small target, and you conquer those targets, and then you will finally finish your big target. I hope all those young people can do the same like me. That's what I did.
All right, so Weili Zhang ready to take on Henry Cejudo with one small condition there. Listen, I love the personality. I love... I just can't say enough. Again, the performance was flawless, and I'm excited to see what she does next. Star in the making. She's going to be a star in China, and we'll see what she can do on the international stage. All right, co-main event, another big moment for China. The Leech, Li Jingliang, picks up the TKO win over Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos. He was about 10 seconds away from getting a decision win anyway, picking up the win at 4:51 of the third and final round. He was definitely going to take it on the judge's decision. I will say this. I had the fight even going into the third round. Only one judge had it that way. Two judges had the Leech taking both rounds, one and two, and he was clearly up in round three as well. Still would have been a unanimous decision either way. I had it scored the same way Howard Hughes did with the Leech taking round one and Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos taking round two. Li Jingliang, again, if you're a Rocho listener, you know he's a favorite. Love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. And I feel bad for turning my back on him in the staff picks. Not that he'll ever see, but normally I'm a ride or die with Li Jingliang, and I thought Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos was going to be a little bit too much, but you know, I don't know if it's necessarily just an off night by dos Santos, but the timing, the rhythm just didn't seem to be there, and Jingliang, conversely, was doing a great job of pressing the action, you know, delivering straight punches up the middle, you know, not staying in that kicking range where Capoeira can be so dangerous. And just another impressive performance. This guy is a star over there in China as well. And this was a hell of a way to cap off the card. A great, great, you know, finish to the evening for China. You know, as UFC President Dana White always says, it's how you walk out of the building. And you talk about building to that crescendo. For this, Li Jingliang came out of it and said, you know, he wants a top 10 fighter in his next outing. And listen, man, he's one of those guys that's just been hovering below the surface and not quite getting the respect he deserves. You know, a lot of it probably does have to be, you know, the fact that he's fighting around the world. You know, I mean, they're using him to build his star over there, and rightfully so. I mean, he's, you know, he doesn't speak English, although, as we've said it a million times, and they said it on the broadcast too, he's one of those guys that feels like you know him even though he doesn't speak English. He's so expressive and so emotional, and his fighting style is just so fun. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a while, right? He's been fighting in China and Singapore Australia and you know, just all around the place, and they don't have him here in the United States. And that, you know, I think it probably costs them a little bit in terms of rankings. I mean, the UFC rankings, no disrespect to those. But, I mean, it's a deep division anyway. We don't have them in our rankings featuring there as well. So it's a very, very deep division. But he wants a big fight next. And I think he deserves it. I mean, there are some names out there that you could match him up with, you know, that are a little lower in the rankings. You know, that top 15 type area that I don't think anybody would bat an eye at. You know, I'm just looking at our own rankings right now, and again, we don't even have Li Jingliang as an honorable mention. But when you look down low in the rankings, our top 15 anyway. You know, Robbie Lawler's at 15. That might be a little out of the stretch, just in terms of name recognition. No disrespect to Li Jingliang, I just can't see Robbie Lawler wanting to take that fight. But you know, Vicente Luque, another guy that's been flying under the radar for a long time. We've got Timmy Amaya at number 13. Of course, he's matched up with Ben Askren in October. Santiago Ponzinibbio, another guy that's got an impressive record but kind of been flying under the radar. Then you start getting into Rafael dos Anjos, who's never afraid to take on anybody no matter where they stand. Leon Edwards is at number 10. I mean, I know Leon Edwards has been holding out for Masvidal, but that's not going to happen. I don't know, you know, that he'd want to go backwards, so to speak. That might be a tough sell for him, but you know, certainly Edwards willing to take on anybody. Wonder Boy is out there. I don't know. Maybe Wonder Boy would be willing to do that. He seems to be a anywhere, anytime kind of guy. But nonetheless, you know, we did have Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos as an honorable mention in our rankings, and I got to think that Li Jingliang will move into there with a win. Now, Gorgeous George Garcia kind of heads up our rankings committee, and then we review it as a staff and see if we've got any issues with what he says. But I got to think the Leech is at least in there as an honorable mention. And, you know, again, somebody I hope they will bring back and forth. Kind of like they're talking about Wei Li Zhang. They wanted to be in the United States. Li Jingliang, I do believe, has some marketability as well. He's a fun fighter to watch. But, you know, they've been building China, and that's the purpose that he's been serving. So good stuff in the main event and the co-main event. By the way, should say, if you like what you're hearing, if you like the fact that we're getting the and a half done on no sleep whatsoever, jump in. Make sure you're subscribed in iTunes. Make sure you take a moment to rate us. Give us 5 stars if you can. Review us if you can. Leave us a little feedback. We certainly would appreciate it. Always enjoy reading the comments from you guys. And it's always good to know that people enjoy the content. Even constructive criticism is all right, too. The other fight that we were really excited about, of course, was Kai Kara France and Mark De La Rosa. I think it delivered. I had this fight 30-27, Kai Kara France. But as I say sometimes, you know, a 30-27 doesn't necessarily mean an absolutely dominant fight. And I thought that was the case here. I thought Kai Kara France was clearly the winner, but Mark De La Rosa made it a good fight as well. Kai Kara France, you know from our travels to Australia, people are high on this kid, and rightfully so. He's got some potential at just 26 years old, he looked good here. The speed, the mixing things up. I mean, it just did a little bit of everything. Mark De La Rosa, dangerous grappler, couldn't really get anything going. If anything, it was Kai Kara France that was getting more takedowns than anything. So a good performance here by Kai Kara France. He wants to fight Alexander Pantoja next. They met on the Ultimate Fighter before. It didn't go Kai Kara France's way. But sign me up. I like it. That's a good fight in the flyweight division. And interestingly enough, catch this moment from the post show. Kai Kara France said that, you know, he'd love to turn around in Melbourne. You know, he had told Fatah Hanoun that before this card started. He said, look, I want to fight in Melbourne. I want to be on 243. That's just 5 weeks from now, I believe. He said it again at the post show. But then he also said, if Melbourne doesn't work, I understand that Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski are fighting in Las Vegas. Did he let something slip here? I mean, of course we've been talking about it. We know that's the fight. But is that what's going to happen? December 14th, UFC 245? Take a listen. What do you think?
20th pro win for you, 8-fight win streak. We're going to pull up the rankings now and let you have a look at this. A bit leading for you here, Kai. But who have you got your eye on right now? I know in October we have Davison Figueiredo versus Tim Elliott. Is that a fight that you got eyes on? Or have you got an eye on everyone?
Yes, pretty much everyone that's in front of me I've got eyes on. You know what fight that really speaks out to me? It's Alexander Pantoja. Mm. You know, we fought an Ultimate Fighter. He's coming off a loss right now. I don't think he has a fight booked. So if he's not injured, I would love to have a quick turnaround fight in 5 weeks in Melbourne. I'm in the sport to make money, and I'm in the sport to fight. So that's the best way to climb the ranks and stay active. So if he's available and he wants to fight, let's run it back. It should have gone the third round. People, you know, back then when we fought, we're completely different fighters now. Obviously, he's done really well for his career. Now I'm starting to make a bit of momentum. 8-fight win streak, 3 in a row in the UFC. I train with so many good guys at my gym, so it rubs off. You know, you can see that in my showing tonight with my head coach Eugene. We're ready to kind of take over now, and I'm just a body of what our system that we use at City Kickboxing. All the guys that help me out with training, I appreciate it so much, and I'm just glad I can represent New Zealand on this world stage. And you're just taking it one fight at a time. You know, I'm not looking past people saying, you know, do you want to fight Henry Cejudo? It's like, obviously, I want to do that eventually, but I know I have to take steps to get to that, and I'm in the right direction.
But your first fight against Alejandro Pantoja, it was on the Ultimate Fighter, so yeah. It was an exhibition match over 2 rounds. You lost a decision there, yeah. Right? But you must have learned a lot from that fight about him.
Yeah, definitely. Those kind of fights, it's hard to really show your full potential because you're an Ultimate Fighter. You don't have your coaches, you don't have your team, and you're cutting weight. You know, you're cutting weight back to back every week, so you're going to be depleted. You're not going to be fighting like yourself. And it was a close fight, and he was a good grappler. Tonight, you know, you could see that I can neutralize grapplers and keep it to where I want to be. And he, you know, he is ranked higher above me. I loved his last fight. You know, these guys put on a war with Figueroa, and I would love to do it again. And maybe we'll do it in Melbourne. If not, I see my teammates fighting. Alex Volkanovski's fighting Max Holloway in Vegas. You know, if that Melbourne fight doesn't happen, we can do it in Vegas. I'd love to be a part of that card as well. It could be my welcome home fight. I haven't fought in America yet in the UFC, so I'd love to do that as well. I'm ambitious. You can see that, right?
Rightly so.
I'm just excited.
All right, maybe breaking some news there. I mean, of course, it'd be easy for Kai Kara France to backtrack and just be like, "Well, I don't know. That's what's happening. I just heard the rumors, like you did." But I don't know. I think he. I think that was a little slip right there. Which, if that is, hey, I'm all right with that. Would have loved to seen it in Melbourne for sure. That would have been amazing, but man, if the start of UFC 245 is Amanda Nunes and Jermaine Durandami and Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski, boy, that is a nice way to have our end-of-year pay-per-view. And by the way, just let me say, I am so excited to have our end-of-year pay-per-view on December 14th. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to that as far as the end of the year, but there's not that December 30th, you know, area pay-per-view, which selfishly speaking, I'm happy about, man. We actually get to have a normal Christmas week and a normal end of year, kind of New Year's Eve stuff. So I'm excited about that. Not that I ever minded covering it before, but obviously ESPN just has so much content, they didn't really need it. So the year in terms of pay-per-view ends December 24th, and of course you go to Korea for a fight night on December 21st. Other than that, as we said, this was not a card that you really need to wake up early and watch the whole thing. And I don't even know that you need to go back and watch the whole thing on Fight Pass or on ESPN Plus or wherever you happen to see it. Song Ki-nan picked up a decision win over Derek Krantz. That was a close fight, close fight, but both guys were exhausted. It was a fun fight. Both guys were exhausted, and I think Krantz, especially since he didn't walk away with the win, will be kicking himself a little bit because he was just exhausted and couldn't do anything. I think the fight was still there for the taking in the third round, and he just absolutely couldn't capitalize. Mizuki Inoue finally made her UFC debut, picked up what I thought was an impressive win over Wu Yanan. It was a split decision. I thought it was clearly in Mizuki Inoue's favor, so I was a little surprised with the scoring of that. But, you know, Inoue was just so incredibly outsized here. I mean, she's normally a strawweight. She went up a division, and then on top of that, you know, Wu Yanan missed his weight by 3 pounds. Did get a 30% fine, but Mizuki Inoue just gutsy, and I mean the physical size difference between those two was almost comical. If you want to check that out, if you didn't, it was almost comical. And I just think Wu Yanan had a little trouble getting her rhythm going and didn't establish things the way that she needed to pick up a win. I think this, I mean, she was clearly the more dominant physical force, but just couldn't get it done. Anthony Hernandez did pick up a much needed submission win in the prelim closer. You know, listen, some of these prelims, we said there were a lot of newcomers, and some of them did not look especially great. It was, you know, you'll see in my rookie report, a lot of C's and D's, to be honest with you. That wasn't the case for everybody. Andre Sukumtas suffered another loss. Man, I was pulling for that guy. I think he's kind of snake bit in terms of how good he can fight. But Sumataraji looked really, really, really good, and then that's when we got down into the newcomers. Daun Jung picked up a submission win over Kadis Ibrahimov. Ibrahimov, man, I don't know if he was just going for broke from the beginning, but he was just slugging for the fences and ran out of gas real quick. Demir Ashmagulov, if you didn't see the prelims, do go see him. He is a name to remember. We told you beforehand that was going to be a fight. It wasn't much of a fight. It was Demir Ashmagulov. Man, he is good. He's fun to watch, and he's really, really good. He picked up a very clear-cut decision win over Thiago Moises. And then the fight of the night actually was early in the prelims. That was your other bonus with Haile Alatang and Dana Vatgarel. But I just didn't think this was high-level MMA, to be honest with you. Same thing, no disrespect, but Carol Hossa and Laura Procopio. It was a rough start at about midnight Pacific time. I was a little bit worried I wasn't going to make it, but it finished super, super strong. So, anyway, listen, I am going to go try to spend a little afternoon with my family. I was happy that we could get this and a half done. I hope you're happy with it as well. And, yeah, we'll do the same thing next week. I am heading tomorrow morning. I got to get packed up. I'm heading to Abu Dhabi. Myself, Mike Bond, Farah Hanoum will all be there for MMA Junkie, so we'll have great coverage all week long of UFC 242, and we'll make sure and get those cats on the mic as well. That Fat I Make Her MMA Roadshow debut, and yeah, looking forward to it. Long trip, but it should be a lot of fun. It's getting busy. What did I say? This is the first of 12 weeks in a row with UFC content, so yeah, man, we're going to finish out the year strong, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you are. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, thanks for listening.